Gare?
Thank you, Chief Judge Rader, and may it please the court. To address the perennial problem of customs failure to timely liquidate entries for which importers like Ford are entitled to a refund, Congress provided that entries that were not liquidated within a particular period of time would be deemed liquidated by operation of law. Ford brought this action, asserting jurisdiction under 28 U.S.C. 1581I, seeking a declaration that certain entries had been deemed liquidated by operation of law because a statutory window for liquidating had passed.
Do you agree that if Commerce had actually liquidated these entries before you brought the action, that there would be no jurisdiction?
Yes, under this court's precedence, that we think that that's right. What's of course different about this case is it's undisputed that at the time Ford brought this action, Congress hadn't taken action to affirmatively liquidate any of the entries at issue. It did not do so until several months afterward with respect to some entries and several more than a year afterwards with respect to other entries.
And they've all been liquidated now, right?
Customs subsequently took action to liquidate all of them. That's right. But at the time this case was filed, it's undisputed that Customs hadn't taken affirmative action with respect to any of the entries at issue. And I think we have two points. One, that the Court of International Trade's jurisdictional analysis was flawed. And two, that the Court of International Trade erred in concluding that it wasn't appropriate to exercise its authority under the Declaratory Judgment Act. As to the jurisdictional point, I think the major flaw of the court's ruling was it disregarded the time-honored time of filing rule, which is that jurisdiction is determined as of the time the suit is filed. You can go back to Chief Justice Marshall in 1824 that said it's quite clear that the jurisdiction of the court depends upon the state of things at the time the action is brought, and that after vesting, it cannot be ousted by subsequent events.
So at the time of filing, you're saying that none of the reliquidation entries have been liquidated?
That's right.
That there had been no liquidation?
There had been no liquidation, Your Honor. It wasn't until 2 or 3 months later with respect to three entries that Customs purported to liquidate.
Doesn't the statute provide a specific avenue to challenge liquidations, and if there's no liquidation here, then how can you proceed under 1581I?
Well, we can't proceed under 1581A, Your Honor, which is the provision that would allow us to challenge the liquidations. Customs hadn't liquidated, so 1581I provides an alternative basis for jurisdiction. And
excuse me, I'm interrupting. Why didn't you just wait until the protest period ended and or until they denied your protest and then proceed?
Because by statute, the entries have been deemed liquidated by operation of law. Ford was entitled to refunds. And I think that the reason why Congress adopted this mechanism of deemed liquidated by operation of law is precisely to prevent the situation that happened here where Customs was not acting timely to liquidate the entries. Importers were going without refunds that they were due. Under the statute 1504A, it provides that after 1 year, the entries would be deemed liquidated by operation of law unless they're properly extended. Now, Customs has an argument that they were extended. That goes to the merits of whether these entries were actually deemed liquidated by operation of law.
Your argument is that as a result of the deemed liquidation, you became entitled to a refund, right?
That's absolutely right.
What would be the mechanism for seeking that refund? Here you sought a declaratory judgment. If you were entitled to a refund, where and how would you sue for the refund?
Well, in this action, Your Honor, we're seeking a declaration that the entries have been deemed liquidated by operation of law. And that's...
But that's a declaration. What about actually suing for the money?
Well, I think we would be entitled to the declaration if we prevailed in the suit.
And then my hope would be that... You're not answering my question. Is there a remedy? You can sue for the money instead of a declaratory judgment. You say there was a liquidation by operation of law that entitled you to a refund. How could you get the refund?
I think my understanding, Your Honor, is that in order to obtain the money when a liquidation is by operation of law, you have to obtain a judicial ruling that has been liquidated by operation of law. My hope and expectation would be that Customs would honor a declaration that amounts have been liquidated.
There's no mechanism for suing for a refund?
I think you would probably ask for injunctive relief as well. I think if you had a declaration and Customs didn't fulfill that declaration of law, then I assume that Ford would be able to go back to, into court and whether it was another declaratory judgment action or injunctive action, obtain relief that would give
it
a refund.
That doesn't sound right to me. There must be some mechanism for suing for a refund if you're overpaid your duty.
Well, I absolutely agree with you that there must be some mechanism.
Wouldn't that mechanism be 1504A?
It may be, Your Honor. I think that there absolutely must be a mechanism, and if it's escaping my memory, I apologize for that, but there must be a mechanism, and I think it is established that...
How about 1581A? Wouldn't that also be a mechanism to sue?
I think it would. If you had a... I think it's fairly well settled if you've got a declaration that the...
So that's what the CIT held, that you had other remedies available to you, and by law, you had a certain structure by which you could only protest liquidations or the lack of liquidation under that particular structure.
Well, but Your Honor, at the time that this action was initiated, the only remedy that Ford had was to bring a suit under 1581I seeking a declaration.
I understand that you had been waiting for a long time.
And I think
you thought maybe you were going to have to wait forever, but the law contemplates that the only way you can protest a liquidation or the results of a reliquidation would be under 1504 or 1581A.
Well, I think if you look at Judge Wallach's recent decision in the Ford case in the Court of
International
Trade...
That's different. That's a duty drawback case, isn't it?
Well, it is a duty drawback case, but it recognizes that there's jurisdiction under 1581I as the Fujitsu case earlier in the Court of International Trade recognizes.
The law doesn't apply the same type of protest structure for duty drawback as it does for liquidation of entries.
But I don't understand the scheme to provide a difference where there hasn't been an actual liquidation. And I think the consequences of the government's position here is that even though Congress has provided that after 1 year, if Customs doesn't act to liquidate, it's deemed liquidated by operation of law, the importer has to stand back and wait for at least 4 years. Because the assumption is that they get the 1 year statutory period and then they get the benefit of the three possible extensions.
Right.
And I think that would quite clearly defeat Congress's intent in establishing a 1 year window under which Customs was required to act. And if it didn't act, they were deemed liquidated by operation
of law. So the issue is whether there were extensions in this case or not.
Well, ultimately, that's right. It goes to the merits of whether or not they were deemed liquidated by operation of law. And on that, I think this case is quite like the Ford decision a few years back from this court, a different Ford case. It's not cited in the briefs.
You're arguing that on the merits that time runs from the date of the extension. They can only do 1 year from the date of the extension, not 1 year from the date at which the original 1 year period expired.
Well, that's one of our arguments, Judge Jack. I think the more simple argument that applies to all the entries is that Customs didn't properly extend the period at all because it failed to provide the statutorily required notice and it failed to specify a statutorily adequate reason.
How do we know that?
Well, we don't because there hasn't been fact finding.
It would have to be a factual determination.
Right. And in that respect, it's like the Ford case where this court has recognized that where Customs doesn't adequately provide reasons, doesn't timely act, that you...
Subsequent to the filing of the case, it turned out that some of that you did receive some notice on a couple of the entries, or that Ford received notice on the entries, an extension of a notice. Notice of extension, excuse me.
With respect, Your Honor, I don't think that's correct. Ford's position is it never received the notice that was required by 19 CFR 159.12. Customs has taken the position that it did extend. And there's
and
some.
Your response is, well, your records aren't very good either. How do we take any kind of a position when you don't have any better records than they do?
Well, we're not asking this court to take a position on that today. I think ultimately there would be fact-finding like there was in the prior Ford case and potentially a bench trial where you would actually talk to the officials involved to decide whether or not there was actual notice given and what the reasons for the notice. The statute is quite clear in 1504B that you don't get an extension for any reason. You can only get an extension if you need information to complete the liquidation.
I'm not sure that Congress contemplated looking behind the extension to see if it had a proper purpose. That seems a little strange.
Well, this court has held the contrary, Your Honor. In Ford versus U.S., it's 157 F3rd 849, and a subsequent decision, 286 F3rd 1335, where the, and I apologize because those aren't cited in the brief. They go to the merits of the position we'd like to pursue on remand if this court agrees with us that this case was improperly dismissed, where the court held that there is jurisdiction and a role for the court to determine whether or not the extension requests were reasonable, and so that you can look to whether they provided an adequate explanation and whether or not they provided notice at all. And I think that this is the problems recognized in that decision have continued to linger here. They resulted in the problem in this case where you have customs not acting over a period of several years. And at that point, the importer has no option but to go to court and seek a declaration that these things have been deemed liquidated by operation of law.
I'd like to read to you from page 12 of the opinion of the trial court that says, in plaintiff's motion for temporary restraining order preliminary injunction, Ford acknowledged that entries E and J have all been extended.
Right. And I think, I mean, and that's confusing. I had to work through that myself, Your Honor. But I think there were several different claims with respect to the extensions. And these are set forth in the Second Amendment amended complaint in JA 77 to 97. And the acknowledgement point goes to Ford had a claim that customs didn't even purport to extend the deadlines. And so the Court of International Trade...
It turned out that they had extended.
They had purported to extend it, but the fact that...
No, it says here, Ford acknowledged that entries E through J have all been extended. I mean, Ford acknowledged that.
That's an acknowledgement that customs has taken the position that they're extended. It's not an acknowledgement that they provided the requisite notice and they provided the adequate reason for it. And that's spelled out in the different claims in Ford's complaint, where the first claim was they didn't even try to extend this. And the Court of International Trade is saying, no, that claim's not right. But Ford has other claims that, okay, if they tried to extend it, they haven't done it properly because they didn't provide notice and they didn't provide an adequate justification. Ford has not remotely waived those claims or made any acknowledgement with respect to that. And so that's why the acknowledgement point that the Court of International Trade relied upon in declining to exercise its authority for declaratory relief is quite wrong.
If the entries have been extended, just as you agreed to during the trial court that they were extended, then what does it matter about the content of the notices?
If the entries were properly extended, Your Honor?
If they were extended.
Right. And again, then it wouldn't matter. But Ford's position is that even though Customs is claiming that it purported to extend them, it didn't. Those extensions can't take effect because they didn't provide the requisite notice and they didn't provide an adequate reason. So even though Customs has taken the position that they purported to extend them, those extensions don't operate. And that's the legal position that Ford is seeking a declaration on. If Ford is right on that, then it's clear that these entries were deemed liquidated by operation of law, and there's no reason why Ford isn't entitled to a declaration of that today, as opposed to having to go through an administrative process that would be looking at different issues, going to the valuation and things like that, that aren't implicated if Ford is right that these entries were deemed liquidated by operation of law.
I want to save some of your rebuttal time?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Miller?
May it please the court. This case is not about notices or extension or the merits. It's about preserving the framework of 1581.
Well, what's their remedy? If there's a deemed liquidation, that would entitle them to a refund, right?
Yes, Your Honor. If, in fact, a deemed liquidation occurred, they would be entitled to a refund.
And how would they get the refund? Is there a provision allowing them to sue for the money?
What would occur is that, depending upon the context by which they brought their action, if it was an I action versus an A action, they would receive a judgment, and the agency of the government complies with judgments of this court. So,
you have to do it through a declaratory judgment as opposed to suing for the money?
You could do it through the context of a declaratory judgment, yes, Your Honor. We believe that
you could sue for the money? If there's a deemed liquidation, can they sue for the money?
I don't know the answer to that question either, Your Honor. However, if in fact they got a declaratory judgment in any context, I versus A, there's no reason to think the government wouldn't comply with that declaratory judgment.
But how do they do it? If there was some way to ascertain that you really did not file any of these purported extensions, then how would they receive their...
Well, the government would...
deemed liquidation refund.
Certainly, Your Honor. If they received a declaratory judgment, they...
Yeah, well, normally, you don't have to sue for a declaratory judgment if you're seeking money for the government. From the government, if the government owes you money, you sue for the money. Can they do that?
The Court of International Trade has the powers to offer relief, as any district court does. So my understanding is that they possibly could, but I'm not quite certain, Your Honor. I know that...
section would they sue?
Well, the court would have to assess what jurisdictional provision is available to it. In this case,
what is it? What's the government's position on what is the proper jurisdictional provision?
1581A for this case, Your Honor. This case illustrates. And to answer your questions that you had addressed to
the court earlier. Doesn't provide for a suit for a refund, does it?
If, in fact, Ford's entry is deemed liquidated, yes, Your Honor, it would. Because in the context of A, they could raise the deemed liquidation argument. The court
That's a protest of a liquidation. But the problem here is that you may never liquidate. The question is, do you agree that if you haven't liquidated the thing, that they're allowed to sue under I for a declaratory judgment?
Yes, Your Honor. If, in fact, an importer can demonstrate that A is manifestly inadequate, then I is available to importers. However,
if there's been no liquidation and A is not available, they can sue under I.
If in fact the entries had deemed liquidated, there may be instances by which an importer could come to court and seek a declaratory judgment under I. However,
at the time they brought suit, there hadn't been any liquidation. Why isn't there jurisdiction under I, given the fact that you say that if there hasn't been a liquidation, there is I jurisdiction?
Yes, Your Honor. The answer lies in 19 U.S.C. 1514. In that statute, it lists protestable determinations, and it says decisions by U.S. Customs and Border
Protection.
That's
not an answer. You told me that if there's been no liquidation, they could sue under I for a declaration that you owed them money, okay? So I'm saying at the time this suit was brought, there were no liquidations. You agree that there was 1581I jurisdiction at that time. It may have been lost later, but at the time they sued, there was jurisdiction.
No, Your Honor. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. They did not have 1581I jurisdiction because 1581A was manifestly adequate and available to them.
But why? Because there had been no liquidation. You can protest a liquidation under A. But there had been no liquidation. The time had passed. They had no notice of, let's take their situation, as we probably should under these circumstances. They have no notice. So where do they go? There's no liquidation. They can't protest it under A. Where do they go?
The fact that liquidation hadn't occurred doesn't render A unavailable or manifestly
inadequate.
You mean
they have to wait until you decide to do a liquidation, even if that takes years, or even if it never happens? There's no remedy.
Yes, Your Honor, they don't have to wait indefinitely, but in this context, they would have to wait.
How long do they have to wait?
Well, it would be on a case-by-case basis, but in this context, we know for certain...
How long do they have to wait?
Congress anticipated that reconciliation entries would take approximately 4 years to resolve, which makes sense because given the nature of reconciliation claims, that there's unresolved issues and that the importer and the agency would be working
back. So you don't really even have to file extensions ever and use an extension. You think the statute gave you 4 years in every instance to do whatever you want?
No, Your Honor. An importer or the agency would have to comply with the regulations.
But you don't allow them to sue before 4 years. So what you're saying in essence is there's no need for extensions. You have 4 years under every case.
An importer could possibly sue before 4 years, but the main point of this
Why can't they sue the day after the 1 year liquidation time expires?
In this matter, because Ford...
Why not?
Because Ford reasonably anticipated that Customs would be liquidating their entries. They were engaging that.
What was the basis for their anticipating that?
They were in constant communications with the agency. The agency was requesting information with respect to their reconciliation entries, and Ford was complying with those requests. If, in fact, Ford believed that its entries deemed liquidated after 1 year, it would not have continued to engage with the agency for another period of 3 years with respect to their reconciliation claims. Further, their cause of action, if in fact I is in an appropriate jurisdictional forum by which to hear this case, accrued at that year mark. They waited approximately 3 years to commence this IAC.
Isn't it a little odd that Congress would say they have to wait until you decide to do something before redressing the problem and getting the money? I mean, that's a little strange, isn't it?
No, Your Honor. And in fact, that's contained in 1514 because it says that decisions of the Customs Service with respect to reconciliation, including the legality of all orders and findings entering into the same, are protestable determinations.
But you said a minute ago that Ford had reasonable expectations because they were in negotiations. That is facts, isn't it? That's something that has to be established. That's not something that we can determine here as a matter of binding on this court, can we?
You're correct, Your Honor, that those are facts.
So however, you're assuming facts to resolve jurisdiction?
No, Your Honor.
Sounds to me like we've got a problem here.
No, Your Honor. Our primary point is, under 1514 and 1581, the legality of customs decisions, which is what Ford's challenging here, the legality of customs liquidation of its entries, are protestable determinations. And much like this court did in Hartford Fire Insurance, you have to look at the nature of the claim. And essentially, what they're doing is they're trying to challenge a protestable determination. And Congress, through the structure of 1581...
Well, it's not protestable until you do a liquidation.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's correct. But simply because liquidation hadn't occurred at the time of the commencement of the action doesn't mean that it will never be available. It simply means that Ford's action is premature. The only difference...
You never have to liquidate. You can just sit there, keep the money, never liquidate. They have no remedy.
They do have a remedy, Your Honor, under 1581A. Ford relies
on remedy. If you don't liquidate, what remedy do they have?
They have a remedy under 1581A.
Because how?
When their entries do liquidate, which here they liquidated shortly.
But that doesn't happen for 4 years. So they have to lend you millions of dollars interest free for 4 years? Is that what you're saying?
Your Honor, no, Your Honor, I'm not saying that. But the statute does provide for interest for the period of time upon which the government retains importers' money. But the main purpose of this case is preserving A as the preferred jurisdictional form of this court as opposed to I. Ford has not established that A is manifestly inadequate or unavailable to it by commencing an I action.
It's not available to it until you liquidate, right? They have no remedy, according to you, until Customs decides to liquidate, right?
Yes, Your Honor. But that does not render 1581A manifestly inadequate. It renders Ford's claim to be premature by prematurely commencing this action. Ford relies
Why
upon...
Why is it premature? I don't understand that.
Because through the structure of 1581 and 1514 and the concept that Congress intended for customs determinations with respect to reconciliation and the legality of all orders and findings...
Set a time limit. You liquidate within a year or it's deemed liquidated. So the year expires. How do they enforce the time limit?
If, in fact, Customs had done nothing during that year period of time, then perhaps they could come to court and establish to court that A is not available or manifestly adequate and they have a valid claim under I.
But don't we have to assume the facts to be as they say in this instance and therefore we have to assume that you had done nothing?
No, Your Honor. You're correct in the respect that you have to, we assume all facts pled in Ford's complaint as being as true, but for purposes of jurisdiction, much like this court did in Hartford Fire Insurance, it's looking at the nature of the claim and determining which provision of 1581 is the appropriate provision that Congress intended for that claim to be resolved. Ford relies upon the case of Fujitsu. The only difference between Fujitsu in this case is that Ford commits its action before the agency liquidated its entries.
Yeah, the only difference is that there was a liquidation that they could challenge when they brought the action.
Precisely, Your Honor. But if Ford is permitted to proceed under I, then A versus I becomes at the election of the importer. And this court has held in American Air Parcel that certainly A versus I cannot be at the election of the importer. Meaning here, Ford could either...
No,
should,
as long as you've liquidated, then they have to use A, or you've given adequate notice, in which case they don't have any basis also to bring an I action. So why isn't it all in your hands?
Because an importer can sit and either wait for the liquidation to occur and bring an A, and if it doesn't want to wait for the liquidation to occur, then it could come to court under I and seek a declaratory judgment
if
for
the
it.
Deadline expires without you doing anything.
Let's look at it this way. What would have happened had Ford brought the action under A with respect to the entries that it claims were not properly extended? Would the court had jurisdiction over those? Over that, over those claims?
At the time that Ford commenced this action in April of 2009?
Yeah, let's say that instead of having brought this case, it would have filed suit under 1581A to protest the reconciliation entries that it claims now were not properly extended.
The court would not have jurisdiction because
under A,
because the liquidations had not occurred at the time that Ford commenced its court action. But that further demonstrates that their challenge was simply premature. The policy reasons behind Congress intending A to be the preferred jurisdictional forum for the trial court are manifest between the differences of the two. Under I, litigants aren't entitled to a bench trial. It's a review of an agency record. Versus A, litigants are entitled to a full range of the discovery mechanisms. So when you have a challenge, that's highly fact-intensive. For example, our challenge here as to whether the notice...
Isn't Judge Carman saying, he doesn't address the merits, but isn't he essentially saying that you should have brought this case under A instead of I?
Yes, Your Honor. To the extent we would disagree with Judge Carman's analysis, it's the extent that he found jurisdiction under I at all.
But he only found jurisdiction under I for several entries.
Yes.
And that's for declaratory judgment only.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then he chose to use discretion not to declare anything. All right. But isn't Judge Carman saying in his opinion that this case really should have been brought under A and not I?
Yes, Your Honor, you're correct. Judge Carman recognizes that A is the preferred jurisdictional forum for this court, for the trial court to resolve issues such as this. And when A is manifestly adequate and available to an importer, they have no other choice but to have their claims resolved in the context of A.
And with respect to the entries that had not been liquidated, the reconciliation entries, because this is a reconciliation case, not a liquidation case. It's a reconciliation case. With respect to those entries, isn't Judge Carman saying, well, you have to wait until Customs makes some sort of move here?
Yes.
And if once they do make a move, your jurisdiction is under 1581A, not I.
You're correct, Your Honor, yes. Judge Carman recognized the mandate of the agency in processing entries and reconciliation claims, that there is a normal administrative course, and Ford, like every other importer, must follow that administrative course, wait for the agency to finish its administrative actions, and then have all actions of the agency reviewed in the context of A.
Could I ask you, before you run out of time, your alternative theory that even if jurisdiction existed in the first place under I, that it was lost when the liquidation occurred in the course of the action? That is your alternative position, right?
No, Your Honor. I believe the position referring to is that for three of the entries, if in fact I is the appropriate jurisdictional form, that their claims are time barred. Is that the claim that you're referring
no,
to?
My understanding was, let's suppose we reject your position. We say that the outset of this action, there was jurisdiction under I. My understanding was that you were saying even if there was jurisdiction at the outset, it was lost when an actual liquidation took place later, correct?
No, Your Honor, that's not our position.
You're not saying that.
No, we're saying okay. That the trial court never had I jurisdiction over these entries,
Thank
that
you.
A was always the appropriate forum by which the trial court to resolve Ford's claims.
If we were to determine that you're wrong and that I is appropriate to challenge upon the expiration of the liquidation date, when you did liquidate, would that convert it into an A action?
Yes, Your Honor. The liquidations of the agency are valid agency actions. And as the trial court recognized,
would that require a separate, would they have to bring a new suit? Would they lose jurisdiction under I and have to bring a new suit under A? Or would it be converted ipso facto into an A?
In this instance, Ford has brought a completely separate suit under A.
It's, I'm not really asking about this action. I'm wondering how you would respond if you lose this case and there is I jurisdiction. When you liquidate, do they need to bring a new action, or is the I converted into an A?
They need to bring a new action, Your Honor.
But you just told me that you weren't arguing that the liquidation after the beginning of the action took away jurisdiction. Are you arguing that, or aren't you?
We're not arguing that, Your Honor. We're saying that the appropriate form.
So if there was I jurisdiction in the beginning, I jurisdiction continued whether or not there was a liquidation.
The trial court never had I jurisdiction.
No. What's the answer? If jurisdiction existed under I at the beginning, do you agree that it was not lost as a result of the liquidation that occurred after the action was commenced?
I would agree with that, yes, Your Honor. If, in fact, it existed at the beginning, it was not lost by the liquidations. But our position is that the trial court never had I jurisdiction.
Why is that? Because is this a time of filing issue?
No, Your Honor. This isn't a time of filing issue. Because even if we assess jurisdiction at the time of filing, through the structure of 1581 and 1514, Congress tells us that A is the preferred jurisdiction form for this court, and Ford has not demonstrated that A is manifestly inadequate.
Well, in response to Judge Matt,
please.
In response to Judge Dyke's question, if jurisdiction continues after liquidation, is that because it's a time of filing? I mean, you're saying that once there's liquidation, there's no jurisdiction anymore, but your response to Judge Dyke is that jurisdiction continues under I.
Yes, Your Honor. I apologize for the confusion. In this instance, I jurisdiction was never available for Ford to have its claims resolved. And we know that by looking at the structure of 1581 and the language of 1514, that the legality of all decisions with respect to reconciliation entries must be done in the context of A. So Ford should have waited for the liquidations to occur. The trial court recognized that and didn't enjoin the government from allowing those liquidations to occur, because those injunctions, the liquidations, was laying the foundation for Ford's jurisdiction, the proper jurisdiction of the trial court.
What is the meaning of the one-year time limit? You don't really have to abide by it. Why is there a one-year time limit in the statute?
Because there may be instances, Your Honor, where importers can come to court and demonstrate that A is manifestly inadequate or unavailable to them. But in each instance, they could demonstrate that the agency has taken no action during that period of time. But it would be a case-by-case basis by which the importer would have to demonstrate to the trial court as to the unavailability of A. For these reasons, we ask this court to affirm the dismissal of this case.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Mr. Gehr?
Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honors, there was no protestable decision at the time Ford brought this action, and therefore no basis for Ford to seek jurisdiction under 1581A. I think Judge Carman recognized that. 1514 doesn't help the government because there was no reconciliation. There has to be something you can challenge, something you can protest, and there wasn't.
But you would agree that once there's reconciliation, then 1514 applies?
I think it would. The reconciliation entries, what you need for 1581A to apply, Your Honor, is a protestable decision.
And you would get that under 1514.
Once there's a protestable decision, but at the time this action was brought, there was no protestable decision.
Isn't that what Judge Carman was saying? There's no protestable decision here. I have no jurisdiction.
But he didn't, Your Honor, he didn't dispute that there was jurisdiction with respect to those entries that hadn't been liquidated at the time the action was brought. He didn't dispute that, so he agreed with us that far. He simply found that that jurisdiction could be ousted with respect to liquidations afterwards. Now, with respect to 1581I, Judge Dyke, we did seek a refund in this action. It's on page 96. And we do think that 51I allows jurisdiction not only to declare a deemed liquidated by operation of law, but to order a refund. If not, we're at least entitled to that declaration. The policy here considerations, I think, are very strong. Congress provided that entries would be deemed liquidated after a year because of the problems of customs not acting. Customs' position in this case is that it gets to wait at least 4 years, and the kicker is if the importer waits that long to act, to challenge, and customs doesn't act, then customs can come back and make the kind of statute of limitations arguments that it's made here and say that the importer didn't act soon enough. And so that's the real kicker that the importer gets for waiting for the administrative agency to act. There was not communication between the agency and Ford during the relevant period here, 2005 to 2008. That's discussed at pages 10 to 12 of the brief. We haven't as much talked about the Court of International Trade's decision not to exercise declaratory judgment, but this court has said in electronics for Imogene and the Teva pharmaceutical case that the court has to identify a well-founded basis to decline to exercise that jurisdiction. And the only basis that the Court of International Trade identified were at pages 18 to 20 of its decision. It pointed to the availability of 1581A, but that was not available at the time this action was filed. Rule 57 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure specifically recognizes that the possible availability of a different remedy is not a reason to grant declaratory relief. Ordinarily, this court looks to whether the dispute is concrete, whether it's hardened, whether the parties would benefit from the declaration. That's clearly the case here, where Ford's position is that by operation of statute, these entries have been liquidated by operation of law. Customs was holding on to its refunds for a period of several years after Ford was entitled to them. It was entitled to a declaration that these entries have been liquidated by operation of law, and the courts have jurisdiction to entertain this action. We think the court should remand for fact-finding and other consideration. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Gehr. Our last